I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, March 20th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy belated birthday, I should say.
Well, I just turned 35. I will have turned 35 by this time, when this airs. But yeah. It was funny, you know, as we were starting, just before we started taping, we're talking about, you know, physical conditions and ailments that you and I both have. And I guess that's a sign of being
physical
in...
Physical ailments, being old.
Yeah, when you're 35, these are the things you talk about now rather than, say, what you saw on TV last night or something.
Yes. These are our grievances now.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, we've talked about this over the last couple of years that we've been doing this, about just how we feel older and maybe hopefully wiser.
Physically, mentally,
Maybe wiser, maybe, but I don't. I still don't feel wiser, but...
It depends on the day, really.
So I turned 35 this week, and you will turn 35, I guess, sometime in the fall, right?
6 months,
yeah. So it's a good, you know, we bookend the year almost by marking... this time, marking, you know, getting older.
Kind of halfway mark.
Yeah. I mean, do you
it's
get...
kind of a scary thought.
It is, isn't it? I mean, 35 is halfway to 70. And
it
so,
is.
So, like, half... If one lives to 70, this is the midpoint, and...
And it took a while to get here.
Yeah. But, I mean, they say that the next 35 years will be just... It'll just whiz by.
A breeze, right?
Yeah, and hopefully by then...
You'll probably forget half of it.
And hopefully by then we'll be retired and things like that, right?
Oh, God, Jesus, please, yes.
What's the retirement age of, 67?
Well, no. 65 is retirement age, but I'm going for early retirement.
Yeah, well, the federal government changed it, didn't they, to 67. And
well, see, I work... I have a provincial pension plan.
Yeah.
So I can take early retirement, which I will be doing.
So you're thinking about things like that already, but what?
Absolutely.
What age you'll retire? Like 55 or whatever, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in my case, especially with kids, it's something I have to think about and kind of plan for, right? I have two little people that hopefully will go on to post-secondary. So I got to kind of look at where my money is going to be in 20 years.
But you won't be 50. Well, yeah, you will be 55 by then, won't you?
In 20 years,
in 20 years, one will have already gone through it, and the other the youngest one would probably be through it all as well. Won't
oh yeah,
it?
That's yeah? right. Yeah, that's true. So I mean there goes. I'll be working to pay for them.
That'll take you to 55.
Retirement money will be my retirement money.
And then do you have plans already what you're going to do at 55?
Well, yeah, I do. I kind of have some loose plans made.
Yeah, see, like, I don't think that far. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should, but I don't.
Well, yeah, no, you know, I'm looking forward to it, as you should be, too.
But don't you think... Yeah, but...
You've kind of front-loaded all your fun, right? So
yeah. That's the thing. I'm alone. I'm single, so
right.
It's not like, you know, I've got people to worry about or tuition to pay for, right?
Right.
So.
You've front-loaded all your fun and.
But I do know. I mean, I know people our age, people our generation who, you know, go on holiday every 6 months and have wife and kids and obligations, but they feel that they can have it all.
Hey, go, more power to them. I don't make that kind of money.
And I'm sure they don't either, but I mean, the people do that. I mean, you just look at Facebook or you look at people you work with and the sort. There's a lot of frivolity. Frivolity that your grandparents or our parents' generation would probably...
Didn't have, yeah.
Yeah, would be very displeased with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and my grandmother absolutely is, you know, and I see it too, even, you know, like you said, some of the people I work with that are my age, that I think, you know, they seem, you know, appearances seem that they're maybe further in life than me just based on some of the things they have or...
That you see on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and you know, and I just try not to take that too much into consideration because I have my own situation and I can only really control that, and I know what I can afford. You know, who's to say that these people aren't in dire debt?
Well, I mean, you just read the news and you do hear people. I mean,
yeah, because that's the reality. There are people that are clearly in high amounts of debt, so
carrying huge debt loads on credit cards and the sort, and mortgages, and
and I don't want to look forward to that for retirement.
I mean, millennials are generally, I mean, that's the rap that the people, our generation, and then people younger than us, millennials, get, is that we're pretty
frivolous.
Yeah.
And money.
And not having any forethought to anything, whether it's our health or our balance.
I could see that. And I agree with that to some extent. I mean, how much do you think about, I mean, we do talk about our health quite frequently.
Yeah, well, I'm usually just complaining about something, but I mean, it's not like I'm not thinking, oh, I should have more fiber. Or I had so much fiber this weekend, I feel terrific. You know, it's not like that.
No, I guess not. But I mean, too, I often think of, you know, what if I was incapacitated or something? Would I have the money, or at least
could you survive
savings
to,
like, yeah, you know, survive, or even, I mean, forget me, or even, you know, for my children to survive, you know, while I'm not working or unable to work, you know, things like that. So, if anything could happen.
So 10 years ago when we turned 25, we weren't thinking about this stuff, right?
No. God, no. I mean, 25, we're like babies. Yeah. We didn't know anything.
Because I don't remember when I turned 25 thinking it was anything monumental. I wanted to get on with it.
Just move on with life.
But yeah. I don't, yeah, lately, because I, you know, I had an uncle die recently, and he was 72. And so, 35 is about halfway to 72.
Right.
So, I mean, if I'm thinking that's the median age in my family.
Right, you're looking at timelines a little.
I'm halfway there. And so, will the second half be...
Well, you got to make it good.
Well, yeah, what'll happen, you know? I mean, you do wonder about these things.
Yeah, you got to make it a good second half then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and then even if one did live till 90, this would be the second act, and then the third act would be, you know, 70 to 90.
From 70 to 90, yeah, for sure.
What?
And that's a blur, I'm sure.
But we're hearing that now with baby boomers, that, I mean, people working into their 70s because they can't afford to live in the city, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Jesus, when I look at, you know, I'm thinking, you know, when is Sophia, so my youngest daughter, who's going to be 9 in April, she has a friend at school, and I'm friends with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom is having her 50th birthday at the end of March, right? So this woman's got 15 years on me.
Yeah.
On us, I should say.
Yeah. And is that the average age, just to interrupt you, is that the average age of the parents? Because I know you had your kids, you had your kids relatively young, right?
Relatively, yes, in consideration to what I am around now in the schools. Yeah, I mean, there was a night when all the parents got together at just another parent's home. And, yeah, the conversation around the room essentially is most of these women are, you know, in their 50s or entering, or, you know, near approaching their 50s. So that's the norm. And, you know, I'm thinking she's turning 50. She has a 9-year-old and a 6 or 7-year-old.
Yeah.
So, you know, how old are these kids going to be when 13 years, say, she's going to be 63.
When they graduate. Yeah.
When the youngest ones, you know, when they're graduating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus. I don't know, you know, what they've got financially or what that looks like or what her planning kind of looks like.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine, because even for myself, I'm like, I just can't wait until they graduate and, like, you know, go off to school so I can start somewhat living my life. I know the reality is I'm not going to be living completely carefree, but it's still something to aspire for.
Yeah. And I find that the people who plan to the nth degree, that they don't enjoy life because they've been just they've missed the forest for the trees, right?
Well, the spontaneity of it. Yeah. And that's never fun either. So, you know, and that's why I say I've got some loose plans. You know, I know I want to travel. And I know I that's very basic. And I'm even willing to include my children in those travels.
Yeah. Well, then they can pay for it, right? Because they'll hopefully have jobs by then, right?
They'll be old enough, and they can do all of that. But, you know, I just want to be able to enjoy the rest of my later years in life. And I definitely do think about it more as we get older. And, of course, you know, you're 35 now.
Yeah. Did you find, though, like...
a long time.
Do you find it at 35, or you're 34, I'm 35, that... you're enjoying, I mean, no one enjoys work, but I mean, the balance between work and life, that you've been able to maintain that, having the job that you have and the family life that you're cultivating with the two children. I mean, that's something you must think about, isn't it, about having a good work-life balance?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult, to say the least. I try, because I do have to be stretched in so many different places at so many different times, but
because I mean, if you're killing yourself at 34 35, you're not going to make it to 55 65, right?
Not doing it the way I am now.
So we do have to think about these things as we continue.
Absolutely.
In
I mean,
the
that's
work world.
One of the things I've been thinking, right? Because it's, you know, if it's not life itself that kills you, then it's your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't want my work to kill me, and my work can be quite stressful at times. And I'm actually, I mean, with turning 35, funny enough, I'm looking at possibly going back to school and maybe changing my career. And although the career choice that I may be going into could be even more stressful than what I'm doing now, it's something I'm passionate about, so I'm kind of okay with that trade-off.
What have people told you, though, in terms of giving you advice? Do they say that at 34, 35, it's a good idea?
You know, so I'm basically looking, I'm not looking to become a lawyer, but I'm looking to get into the legal profession.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to a lot of lawyers lately, and I spoke to the legal guy actually in my office. And he actually said that right now is probably, like, the best time to get into it.
Yeah, your kids are at a certain age now where you're not having to be with them 24/7.
Exactly. And you know, in law, typically, you know, it's long days, long nights, and a lot of demands, which I have essentially in my job now, other than the long nights. I'm kind of like a 9-to-5, other than my union stuff. But again, it's the passion that I have for the work, and I think I'd be much happier dying in a job that I love than a job that I'd loathe and tolerate doing. So, you know.
What do you think it is that stops us from achieving the good work-life balance? Because, I mean, I find certain work is rewarding and enjoyable, right? The workplace can be enjoyable, and that's why one goes to work, right?
May not be.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think it is that stops us? I mean, do you find that there are employers that are just too demanding of their employees, that they demand too much in terms of hours and work, that's preventing, or is it just people themselves that they just, you know, because they're trying to?
Well, I think it's a mix of both. I think the employer demands a lot because, I mean, it's cyclical is how it works, basically. And from what I've seen in my observations, people that are so dedicated to their jobs have a hard time leaving it.
Mm.
Leaving it to the point where they won't take days off, they won't take vacation, they won't take sick time, because they feel like if somebody else comes and does their job while they're gone, it's going to make even more work for them.
Yeah.
So they just, you know, never take vacations, and they're constantly there working overtime, and then the employer doesn't see that there's a need for any additional help because this person's been in that job getting all the work done, and essentially that person's been doing it, but they've been slaving themselves to do it.
Mm.
And while this person does that, they build up this animosity towards the employer. I think we put ourselves in these circles that are just end up being very detrimental to our own health and stability. Yeah. You're entitled to days off. You're entitled to sick time. And you need to take that in order to kind of give your brain a rest.
Because I do find that in my work that it's more work when I come back from a vacation. And I think that's probably a sign that I need to do better personally, right?
Well, see, and that's how people take it, but it's not at all. It's not a lack of the work that you're doing or should be doing. It really comes down to numbers and workload issues.
Yeah.
There needs to be more people there. But this is something we do to ourselves as humans, and then we feel this certain obligation. We start to carry the whole weight of the job.
Oh, the resentments and the pettiness and all that,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Right? And then it just becomes this constant battle that you have every day going into work and then doing the same thing day in and day out. And it doesn't help to our work-life balance, because then if you're not getting that balance, you're not able to go back and refresh yourself. You know, like I'm off right now for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I have access to my desktop and my work emails and everything here at home, and I could check them, and I might, but I'm not going to, because not because I don't care. Well, I don't really. But I need a break. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm mentally exhausted right now from my work. And in order for me to go back to work and be, you know, the happy, chipper person that I am,
yeah.
I need to have kind of like a reload, a refresh. I think everybody needs that.
So what's it like to compare yourself to the lot of, say, your mom or your grandma? I mean, did they work harder at 35 than, say, you are?
You know, if you ask my grandma, yeah, she did. She's like, you know, she thinks we're all a bunch of losers. Just a bunch of complainers,
yeah.
You know. But to that point as well, I think that's kind of what made me recognize that I needed to take a break was when she came to me and said that I need to take a break, that I need to rest, because I'm running around too much and I'm going to probably collapse from exhaustion. And so I said, wow, for her to say that to me is pretty big, because I know my grandma. I've watched her work tirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her fall asleep at the dinner table as soon as she, you know, comes home from work, makes dinner, serves it, and sits down to eat, only to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, so I know she, I know I've seen tired and I've seen exhaustion. So, I mean, for her to recognize that in me was really a wake-up call to myself. Like, yeah, you're really burning the candle at both ends here, and it does nothing for me other than makes me kind of regress at some point when I feel, you know, when I'm overworked, I usually get to a point where I just stop and nothing gets done.
Yeah.
At all. And yeah. I'm like completely useless. And
yeah.
I feel like we work hard. We do, you know, but to our parents, no, we're probably just complainers.
and I guess to strike the good balance between work and life, because we do need to work. I think a life of just idleness is not of any use,
not
you know.
Healthy.
Like, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I 3 weeks ago, I was very busy both days that I was off on Saturday and Sunday, and I filled both days with stuff to do.
Mm.
And then the next weekend, I had really nothing to do, and so I slept like 8 hours. I managed to get 8 hours a night both nights, and didn't really do much. Wasn't productive at all, and found I was just as tired as when I had those busy weekends.
Right.
So I must be doing something wrong if that's the case, right?
Well, this is, you know, I don't know. But I've got 2 weeks of vacation, and I plan to do nothing.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll figure out the balance, and I'll let you know what it is. I can tell you for the last couple of days that I've been off, I've done nothing but sleep, and yeah, you can't catch up on sleep.
Yeah, you do. You can, I mean, yeah, you let's say you get 2 hours of sleep during the week, and you think, oh, well, I'll just catch up on Saturday. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. Absolutely does not. Yeah. So, you know, the sleep that I've been sleeping is kind of just, I don't know where it's coming from, but clearly my body's been tired.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up this morning, took a small nap, and just took another nap at about 5 o'clock. And I'm still, you know, still good. still good to sleep again.
Yeah. The other thing we were talking about just before we started taping today was because we realized that we hadn't seen each other since August.
Mm.
When we talk every week on this thing.
Yeah, so it doesn't really seem like.
No, but I mean, that's about 4, 5, 6, that's about 6, 7 months, right?
It's been 7 months, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have friends, like I ran into an old friend a few weeks ago who I hadn't seen in about 2 years.
Crazy.
And yeah, and then we have mutual friends in Surrey that we're supposed to catch up with that we've been meaning
for
to
like
catch up with.
The last 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't seen one of them in about a year and another one in about 15 years, or probably more than 15 years now that I think about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I mean, but friends, I think that's an important way of... as one gets older, you realize, I mean, we have family around us, and to certain degrees, I mean, some of us like our family more than others.
Right.
But I think friends because we choose them, friends because we know, we picked them out ourselves when we were younger.
Right.
I think are important, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this marvelous article a couple weeks ago in the Boston Globe by Billy Baker. And if you haven't read some of Billy Baker's stuff, he's actually a brilliant writer. He says the biggest threat facing middle-aged men, and he's 40, isn't smoking or obesity, it's loneliness. And as men get older, and this is the case with Mr. Baker, he's married and he has 2 young children, he's tended to let his friendships lapse. And he hasn't seen people that he's grown up with or, you know, that he was friends with in a long time. And he realizes at 40... I mean, it's cool to hang out with his kids on the weekend and his wife, but he needs his friends around him.
Right.
And do you find that? I mean, do you find that you're getting the time that you need with your friends, eh?
No, you know, it gets harder it gets harder as we get older.
Yeah.
But especially with kids, and especially with the friends that don't have kids, it gets really tricky.
So do you find that your friends are more people that have kids, as opposed to, say, you're not hanging out with people that don't have kids, right?
Well, no. Well, I do have a lot of friends who don't have kids. I have friends who have older kids,
mm-hmm.
and I have friends whose kids are a lot younger, because, you know, like we said, my kid's considerably younger, so a lot of my friends are just starting to have kids now.
But at this point in your life, is it easier for you to say, bond or connect with someone who has kids and someone who hasn't?
I'm good either way.
Yeah.
I'm good either way. I've always been, you know, I've always been kind of one that's...
Yeah, but you got along with people better, I think, than most people, I would say.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm a loner. I'm good being completely alone.
Yeah. But you're also good with people around you, right?
I'm good with people around me, too. So that's never been a big problem of mine. I mean, it gives me a little bit of anxiety initially, but usually that's always all in my head, right? But connecting with old friends, it's definitely something that I try and make a priority because I really respect my friendships. So I try and really make time to see people. I mean, you and I, we talk every week. And we work really opposing schedules.
Yeah, so
it's hard for us.
It's inconvenient, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for us to see each other. But, you know, one of my other friends, Brianne, we've been friends since high school, we kind of try and make it a point to see each other every weekend because she's pretty much, we're on the same kind of work schedule.
Yeah.
So we'll try and make it a point to see each other every weekend.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't even talk all week. You know, no talking, no texting, and it's just, you know, I'll get a text on Friday or Sunday evening. She'll say, oh, I'm coming over. And that's nice because it helps you kind of, you know, stay on track.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? How's life? Blah. But, you know, like our other friend who we've been trying to connect with for over 2 years, I saw her a little while ago, and I think it'd been maybe, I think it's been like a year ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
But even when we did reconnect, it was like yesterday. It wasn't like any time had passed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always surprised when certain friends who I don't see regularly, but I guess social media has sort of changed that because we see them all the time online.
I guess.
And we can talk to them online, but it definitely is not a substitute for face to face,
like real life.
Yeah.
And like what's going on in their actual real life.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, you gotta make more of an effort, buddy.
Yeah, and I certainly
now that we're like, you know, halfway to
70. Yeah, well, yeah,
we'll remember these people soon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but yeah, no, you do realize how just time flies, and
it really does.
I'm talking about someone that we know mutually. Like I don't see this guy regularly, but I know when I talk to him. Or when I see him, it's like it's just like an old shoe that fits or whatever, right?
Well, yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah, and I think that's important to not ignore those sort of friendships. Otherwise, you know, what's the point of getting older, right?
Well, and that's just it. I mean, who but who? I mean, I can only hope that, you know, when you're 70 or when I'm 70, if you've forgotten who you are, I will be able to tell you the Joseph that you were 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there'll be lots of funny things that you may have forgotten that I'll have to remind you of, right?
Yeah.
So
well, that's
good to have those friends.
Yeah, that's the thing about funerals, right? I mean, there are very few people when one dies, especially when
that
they're over
know you.
65, yeah, that knew you when you were a kid, knew you before you had kids, before you were married, before you had grandkids.
Right.
And so it's that I guess that's but I mean why wait for a funeral to say remember all that or take the time to remember all that? It's too late for the other person that's dead.
Well, it is exactly.
You know.
No, I start to see how age creeps up on us, especially as I watch my own grandparents age and seeing how they interact with their friends and how they have aged.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite funny. It's actually really, it's cute.
Yeah.
I went out, I think I told you, I went out with my grandma last weekend or a couple weekends.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a blur now.
Yeah, yeah.
But a couple weekends ago with my grandma and she doesn't get to go out often because she's always, taking care of grandpa at home. But
yeah.
We went out to this event and it had a lot of her little elderly friends were there and such.
Yeah.
And, being the eldest grandchild, I was always so used to being toted around with her all the time. But it was so funny, everywhere we went, she goes, no, this is my granddaughter. This is my oldest.
Yeah.
It's like I kind of forgot. I forget being introduced like that,
Yeah. Because you're the mom, right? You're the, yeah.
Because, I mean, now
every,
I'm
every other place, yeah.
But now I'm, I'm now her granddaughter, and it's almost like she says it with, I feel like I'm her caretaker now.
Mm.
Whereas before she was my caretaker.
Yeah.
And it was like, I could kind of see her age and, just how her and her little old lady friends all mingle together. It's beautiful, but, kind of scary at the same time.
Yeah, we're marking time, aren't we?
We really are.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing. But with that being said, again, happy 35th.
Thank you. And we'll get together with our friends in Surrey, won't we?
Hopefully it won't be another 35 by the time we do that. Jesus.
Yeah.
We'll try and do that before we're 40.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, hopefully sooner, yeah. Before you turn 35 in 6 months, how's that?
Yes.
Let's make that promise now, yeah, right?
Before I turn 35, we will all get together. Well, because she'll be 35 within a few weeks, so.
I don't think she wants us to tell her age. I think she's probably younger than us.
Okay. Well, we can all.
I mean, at what point do we start lying about our ages, too, right? I mean.
Well, listen, this is funny. So I went to Sophia's School for Parent Teachers day, and I was sitting around in the hall with Sophia and one of her little friends from class, and he was talking about how old his parents are, and he was like, yeah, my mom, I think she's like 35 or something. Like, they're so old.
Ooh.
And he really said that, and I just continued looking at my phone.
Yeah.
And and so one of their teachers walks in, and he goes, "Hey, Miss So and So, how old are you?"
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and she looks at me, and I said, "You can't ask a lady her age." And she goes, "Well, how old do you think I am?" And he's like, 35. And she's like, "Well," and I looked at her, and I said, "Take it." And she's like, "Well, I'm 35." She goes. And he goes, "Well, is that really your age?" She goes, "Well, you know, after a while, it doesn't really matter anymore." And he was like, "Why wouldn't it matter?" And the kids were so confused, and they just don't get it. She was well over 35, but, you know, for her, that was, I mean, 35 is, I guess, better than whatever she really was. And for me, it's like, yeah, I kind of stopped remembering after 32. It didn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So I think, when did I've never really lied about my age, but, you know, am I announcing that I'm 35? Almost 35?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, because I don't, I mean, I don't feel like I felt like when I'm 25. I'd be lying to you if I said that. Because I do feel, you know, I do feel,
you feel
older.
30, you do feel 35.
I don't know if I feel 35, but I mean, I feel the same the last 7 years, like, you know, since I was 30, I still feel the same.
Well, do you feel mentally different or physically?
Physically, I feel a little different, but I mean, I not anymore. Like, I feel certainly different from now than I was 10 years ago. But 5 years ago, not really that much.
No.
I do think, yeah, you do, well, just don't ask my age, I guess, is the deal, right?
Well, I mean, this is a thing for women and men, right? I mean,
yeah.
For me, I definitely, I don't know, what does 35 even feel like? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't think I feel it. I do definitely feel like, yeah, I'm probably getting older. But
yeah,
it's not for children.
It struck me when I turned 32, I got the new 10-year passport. And then I was looking at the date, and I said, well, Jesus, when I turn, when this expires, I'll be 42.
Right.
And then that sort of struck, you know, in my head the last.
It's a little mind-blowing.
Yeah, the last 3 or 4 years that, hey, the time is passing, and it's finite, and it's not, you know.
Exactly. It's recorded in the time of a passport, actually, so it's very finite.
Yeah. Do you know that, by the way, we'll end with this, is the 50th show that we've done?
It's our 50th show.
This is the 50th one,
On your anniversary of birthdays and...
It just worked out that way, yeah.
Well, look at it. That flew by.
Yeah. Well, 50 weeks,
50 weeks, eh?
Yeah. Well, we've taken breaks in between. Like, we took the summer off, right? But still.
We did.
But still, it's still nothing to sniff at. That we've been talking 50 Monday mornings, haven't we?
We've had 50, at least 50 great conversations.
More than we had in the previous, say, 10 years.
Exactly.
Right, so.
See, it's not for this. See, bringing people together.
Yeah, and then you hear from people that listen, and I hear from people that listen. So it's not, you know, it's not just been us through this whole damn thing, right?
No, there's other people. So technically, there are people who have spoken with us, to us, I guess.
About this, yeah.
About this, but not with us.
No.
Physically.
No.
So you've still heard our voices, and that's good.
Yeah.
We're still, you know, so they've kind of kept up. They could kind of probably know, like, what's going on in life.
Yeah.
with us, which is not.
And I see the numbers, and I see people coming in and out. So there are people listening to us. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's great. That's reassuring.
Well, you hear that, you know, for every person that you know, writes an email or tweets or something or sends or tells you something that stands for other people that don't.
Well,
right?
Yeah, so, I would hope so.
So we just multiply that, and we have a sense that there are people, you know, downloading us every Monday morning or during the week at least.
Well, that's really encouraging.
Well, to 50 more and to 35 years more, eh?
Oh, my gosh. And hopefully the 50 shows go by as quickly, but the 35 don't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, March 20th, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back next time.